This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Us now on the Harbor One hotline to talk Celtics Heat. It is Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff, thanks for being on this morning with us again. We appreciate it.
No problem. How's everybody?
Doing well. We were just talking earlier about home court advantage. How important is it in this series, would you say, Celtics Heat?
Well, I think home court advantage is misunderstood. I think the team playing at home has to do the work. And then the fans may help you down the stretch of a hard-fought game where you're bringing great intensity and you're playing well. Home court doesn't do anything for you if you're not playing well and you're not bringing the necessary intensity and execution. So I think in a game seven, it's important. I think, you know, notwithstanding the Phoenix debacle against Dallas, I still think every team in the NBA would pick to play a deciding game on their home court.
Jeff, when you look at this series coming up with Miami, I know that times you could be critical about the officiating. Me, as a basketball fan my whole life, I think the officiating is horrible, and I think a large part of that has to do with so many guys who flop all over the place. What can they do in this series to try to make, as you know, the officials, what can they do in the beginning of the series to kind of set the tempo of it being a better officiated series than what I feel like I've seen in the past two series that the Celtics have been in?
Well, I think when you talk about flopping, and both teams have expert floppers, mm-hmm. right? And you know who they are. And I think officials need to study film and not get tricked by the ones that trick you the most. Mm. And I think it's absolutely critical that if you want to eliminate something from the game, there's two options. You don't reward it, number one, or you punish it, number two. And so I think every time there's a flop, you should call the blocking foul on the flopper. I don't care, even if there was illegal contact, if a guy exaggerates it, the foul is on him, and then you fine him afterwards. And then, this would be radical, but I believe you should put the scarlet letter F on their jersey to remind the officials, this dude is a known flopper. We're not going to give him the call.
Can I follow up real quick here? Jeff, do the officials actually study film to look for that stuff, or is that just something that you're saying they should do more of?
I think, listen, they study. These people, like, they are pros. They're study. They know their stuff. It's just when the game is going 100 miles an hour, being able to notice who the floppers are. And I think they also have a difficult assignment in this way. you may study somebody, know he's a flopper, but you don't want to bring that bias into the next call, right? Because if there is truly illegal contact and you don't exaggerate it, then it should be a charge. But, see, I'd be a little bit more diabolical. I would always go on the side of, like, against the flopper. Even if I occasionally miss one that should have gone his way, if you try to trick me and I'm the official, you're trying to make me look bad, you will never benefit. I would be a spiteful official. And I know we don't like those type of officials, but I would be. I would be absolutely spiteful to anybody who tried to trick me.
Jeff, when you look up at the matchup between the Celtics and the Heat, how much more difficult is it than the one that they're coming off of against the Bucks?
No, I think the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Heat are in many ways different, obviously, in some ways. But the thing that they all have in common is they're very, very tough, led by superstars, and are tremendous defensively. And so I think this one is going to be, you know, different because Miami plays a little bit different, but it's going to be very, very similar in how hard the competition is. And I think, you know, until I heard about Smart's injury, I thought Boston, just like they had in the last series with Middleton being out, I thought they had the health advantage. Now, if Smart's going to be questionable and with Lowry out for the Heat, it makes that a little bit more even. So, I think it's going to be really, really a good series. You know, and I think I've picked Boston to win it from way back. I think Boston's been the best team in the league. I think they're going to win it all this year. But, you know, these differences between teams are very, very minute. And so a series can change on one bad break or one, you know, good bounce of the ball.
Well, geez, I'm glad to hear you say that. It almost sounded like you were on the Bucks payroll at times during that last series.
Yeah, you know what? I get used to that, you know. And then the Bucks people say I want Boston to win, you know. So it's, you know, you guys, not that you guys would be homers or anything.
No, not at all.
Right? No.
What about the bench? You give the advantage to the Celtics when it comes to bench?
Well, the Celtics, one thing that Ime Udoka did, I think it changed their season, is he cut down his rotation, you know, and played like old school 8-man rotation and sometimes 7, and played his best players even more. And I think the Heat may have a little bit, they may play more guys, but it's not about more who plays more guys or who accumulates more stats. It's like when you go in, you know, Derek White didn't have a great game 7, but was tremendous in game 6. You know, he's got to be effective. And I think they fit together well. I don't really look at it as a starting unit and a bench unit. I look at it as a tight 8-man rotation. And with White, Robert Williams, hopefully will be back for the Celtics. You know, and Pritchard, who can shoot and did a good job in game 7, and Tice, you know, out of those 4 guys, they have more than enough talent to play against Miami or really any team in the NBA. Those guys have started throughout their careers other than Pritchard. And so I look at it as like they have 8 starters.
Now, Jeff, I don't agree with Greg. I thought you call it right down the middle. I wasn't a Knicks fan, so I wasn't a huge fan of yours when you were with the Knicks. But I will say this. I think you are the most honest and you're the best in the business when it comes to color commentary in all the sports. Now, I'd ask this question. Tatum and Giannis, I feel like Tatum has taken that next level, and I always want to ask people who know more about basketball than I do, that he's taking that next step. Giannis is still a great player, but has he surpassed Giannis? And if you're Miami, how do you defend Jason Tatum?
Well, I would say this. Tatum has ascended because he's gone from being a great scorer to a great player. And his passing, his willingness to pass, it's been a phenomenal growth from the time he came into the NBA to now. It isn't just this year. It's this consistent progression of that. And his defense has become, over the course of his career, he's an outstanding defender. I love his poise. I love his size to see over the defense. And so he is a elite player. But in my mind, no one has surpassed Giannis. If there was a draft of players today in the NBA, Giannis would go number one. I think because of his consistent greatness, his coachability, his ability to dominate on the backboard and defensively, his versatility. I think what you saw in the last series was Giannis being great and the Celtics being uniquely qualified to make it harder on him with their plethora of outstanding individual defenders. And then Tatum in the last, you know, two games, after an inefficient first five games, you know, came up huge. And he delivered his absolute best when his best was needed in game six. And he's incredible. He's just, I love watching him grow from the time he came into the NBA to where he's at now.
Well, can't wait for it to get started tonight, 8:30. Jeff Van Gundy, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, take care, guys.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.